From the Squamish Chief.
This is the Squamish Sound. I'm Keely Bartlett.
And I'm Stephen Chua. This is the 24th episode of our weekly podcast.
You'll hear the story behind the story as we take you into the newsroom. We'll talk about what did and didn't get into the newspaper this week.
On the show today, we're covering Under the Sea. What can you find? If it's Cat Lake, it's probably going to be garbage.
Mm-hmm. And it's lit and almost legit. Squamish looks like it'll soon have its first licensed retail pot shop.
And how to get your story in the paper. Our editor tells you what she's looking for. First off, there is a pretty compelling video that was just recently posted onto YouTube. It is about one of our beloved lakes, Cat Lake, where mm-hmm. we have a diver who has done an extensive amount of work in the area with cleanup and just trying to make sure our lakes are pristine as they should be. He recently had another dive in the area, mm-hmm. and Keely recently talked to him. What did he find?
So Henry Wayne has been doing some volunteer cleanups in lakes for about 6 years now, mm-hmm. and he was hired to do a retrieval for somebody to drop their cell phone in Cat Lake. So when he went, he decided to videotape what he found because they were already planning on doing a cleanup in Cat Lake. They do one about once a year. But this time, when he got down there, there was so much more garbage than he was anticipating. So he posted a video of this dive on YouTube, and he said that he decided to start posting videos instead of just photos because it actually takes the viewer under the water to actually see the impact of what our recreation has on our environment. And so he used to post photos where it was a pile of garbage or bags of garbage on the shoreline after they'd pulled it out and how much it weighed. But this video instead shows so much beer cans. And even before he gets into the water, there's beer cans just sitting on the dock.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. You haven't seen the video yet.
No, I haven't. I'm really curious to have a look and see if it's as bad as I hear.
Mm-hmm. So let's take a look.
All right.
So this is your first time seeing this footage. I've already seen it.
Okay, yeah.
But we're currently watching the underwater segment.
Okay, so we're going to see what's actually beneath the waters of Cat Lake. Here goes.
So you can see his flashlight is highlighting some of the beer cans.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That looks like it's a chair, like a full camper chair.
Oh, that's a lot of beer cans. Oh, jeez. I mean, I guess I shouldn't be that surprised, but
So there's a red Solo cup. So now look at all of this.
Ooh, it's like a graveyard. Yeah. A can graveyard. Oh, just a massacre here.
So there are dozens of beer cans.
Oh, geez, guys. Yeah, that's a bit much.
And it just keeps going.
Oh, yeah? Okay. Because the first video, I was just like, oh, it's not too bad. But now it's getting a little bit...
Because you just see one at a time. It kind of looks like there's just a handful. But then that's enough that if you... That's a full party.
Yeah, like they all just threw it overboard, it seems.
There's sunglasses?
I hope they're Ray-Bans.
Yeah, so that's it for the underwater portion. And when he comes back out, he's got a collection of sunglasses. there are some paddles. And he's taken out a few things because this dive was only he was hired to retrieve somebody's cell phone. So he wasn't planning on cleaning up the lake when he did this, but he had actually decided to take his camera with him to kind of assess what the cleanup that they're planning for in a month will look like. Henry told us that it can be very discouraging for the divers because mm-hmm. they're putting in a lot of time. It takes time to clean up lakes like that because they have to go down for each piece. They can't just grab a bag. It's a little more complicated than that. And, you know, the gear is stuff that they already own. Somebody donates the oxygen to them, thankfully. But this is a lot of volunteer effort, and there aren't that many people who are capable of doing that underwater cleanup. But there are a lot of people who are capable of adding to the mess,
yes,
or helping try to prevent things from the surface level. So of course his response was to pack in, pack out. That's advice you'll hear most places. It's not always easily followed, but it is kind of difficult that this falls on volunteer shoulders. But the costs of operations like this, Henry said, would be too astronomical for the government to afford.
Jeez, mm-hmm. That's humbling to hear. I want to make sure I heard you correctly. They have to get each can or whatever one by one.
That's what he said. So basically, because you can't just carry around a whole bunch of weight.
Jeez.
Mm-hmm. So he said it can be very technical. So it's not something that even recreational divers should try to do.
No. So like, I mean, we saw dozens, maybe more than dozens there. So that's one can, one trip, another can, another trip.
I think he could probably
trip.
Carry a few maybe cans two. Up, but it's basically what you can hold in your hands at that time.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. The amount of work is just mind blowing in that case.
Yeah. Yeah, and they come to Squamish and they do Cern Lakes every year. The province, since they've partnered with BC Parks in the last few years, they have other lakes throughout the province that they also try to help cut back on. But with Cat Lake, what makes it newsworthy right now is that there was so much more than he expected. There's always been garbage in Cat Lake. As long as people have been going,
yeah,
there's been garbage. It is just a side effect of recreation. It happens, right? But this year, he said that because there are new docks that went into the water this year, it's more centralized. Hmm. So even though it's been spread out before, there's more of a centralized location. So it looks pretty extreme.
Yeah.
But then that's on top of what's in the middle of the lake, what's in the other outskirts. But what you see in these clips that's just one area.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's something we'll have to keep an eye on. Thanks for this, Keely. Mm-hmm. Up next, Sky High Cannabis looks like it's going to be the first licensed pot retailer in Squamish. So I guess if you haven't been following it that closely, basically we've had a whole bunch of shops in Squamish that have been operating for a long time, but they've been doing so without provincial approval.
Even though recreational marijuana use became legal in October.
Absolutely. So the kicker here is a lot of people are saying, oh, well, if it's legalized in October, like, why can't they just do it willy-nilly? The thing is that there's a very bureaucratic, red-tapey process where the province has to approve individually each shop that's operating, and if they don't get that approval, I guess within the next length of time, presumably they would be forced to shut down. So Squamish has four pot shops, at least by my count, and they've all sent in, from my understanding, they've all sent in some sort of application to at least try and get provincial approval. Mm-hmm. Sky High appears to be the only one that has made some headway in it. We've tried approaching the other pot shops. 99 North and one of the others got back to us. Another one, we've requested comment, but they haven't really responded. Mm-hmm. Although it's kind of getting, making headway in this process is such a big deal that we're pretty sure they would have advertised it. It would have been quite clear. It's something that you don't keep to yourself because, like, that's kind of like once you get it, you're kind of almost guaranteed at least a spot on being able to operate safely without fear of shutting down.
Mm-hmm. So what does it mean that Sky High Cannabis is at this stage of the process?
Right. So they have what's called an approval in principle, which means, generally speaking, the province seems to be happy with their business. Everything seems to be in order. However, they haven't put the final stamp of approval yet. That will only happen once a person comes inside the store, inspects everything to make sure it's all up to code, mm-hmm. and then after that issues the papers, processes the numbers, and all that sort of thing. But an approval in principle is a very good sign. It means that you're probably just about done. Mm-hmm. You just need that little stamp to finalize everything. So as of now, Sky High Cannabis seems to be the front runner for this. They're the only one who've announced that they've got this approval. And we talked to the owner, Tristan Musset. He and his wife, Amy, co-own this business. And they tell us why it is such a big deal.
The future is that every store that will be existing will have to be provincially licensed. Mm-hmm. So obviously it's a huge step.
Yeah. Right. So this is kind of a guarantee. Well, not quite yet, but it's a big step towards that guarantee that you will be able to operate.
Huge step.
Yeah.
The license in principle, really, like, how long do we have to pass our inspection? There's a time period.
Oh, a year.
So we have 1 year to complete that. Mm-hmm. And if we do pass an inspection within 1 year, we will be licensed.
Right.
That's what it means.
1 year starting like yesterday, basically.
Yes.
Okay. Correct.
They also were telling us that, you know, it's been a long process. There's definitely a lot of emotion involved in this because this is obviously a product that is, at one point in history, was very controversial. And to see it come along this far is a big deal.
We are overjoyed.
Mm-hmm. It's been a long process. So and very
tedious, I would say.
Very thorough.
Very, very thorough.
On the government's part, which it should be. It's taken a long time for the whole different branches of the government that we've been dealing with to sort of come together.
Yeah.
And all as one say, yes, you've passed. All you got to do now is pass an inspection.
They're not the only people who we talked to with regard to this. We talked to Brian Reiser. Brian is the owner of 99 North, which is the first pot shop that was operating in Squamish. Mm-hmm. He basically pioneered and paved the way for cannabis stores in town. As you can imagine, he is quite happy that at least someone's getting approved. Mm-hmm. But given that his shop was, at least by his count, the first one to get municipal approval and therefore the first one to presumably get started on the provincial process, he's a little bit disappointed that he hasn't heard anything from his end.
So we've come a long way. Now Squamish has its first legal retail, and I'm incredibly proud of the role I played. I'm also incredibly proud of being the very first application in the province of BC to get municipal approval. It's almost been 1 year ago that I received municipal approval and have been in a process since then that has certainly taken an emotional, physical, and financial toll. And see, it apparently has no sign of stopping at this point.
So there you have it. After a long, long wait, there seems to be some headway, at least for one store, but the other three we have yet to hear from. So we will be following that up and seeing how things go. Up next, if you've ever wanted to get yourself in the paper or get your event or story or whatever in the Squamish Chief, our
and
editor.
Online.
And online. Yes. And possibly even on this podcast, who knows? We have our editor, Jennifer Thuncher. She's here for the editor's pick, and she's going to be telling us a little bit of how you can make that dream a reality. What's the secret, Jen?
Okay, well, first we should say that if you're a reputable generalist?
Generous?
I need to go back to school. Hmm. If you're a reputable journalist... That we don't ever publish press releases straight up. You're pointing at the mic.
Yes.
We never publish press releases straight up because that's an advertisement. So someone should send us a press release, which includes, of course, the event they're talking about, why it's important, dates and times. And then also, Keeping it very short is good, never more than a page. Mm-hmm. And to include some quotes is always helpful. But it doesn't have to be a fully written story, which we sometimes get, because we're not going to use that. So you can just include a couple of, say if it's an event, then you would have one of the organizers giving a quote. If it's an organization, same thing. Keep it short and light and tight. And in the first few lines, you should be telling us why readers should care about this. So not why it's important to your organization, because that isn't who we are serving. We are serving a broader readership. So why it should be important to our readers. Then it should also be at least a week out from whatever you're trying to get us to pay attention to. And again, not just us, we're talking any of the news outlets that you're sending to. And of course, who we can call immediately if we want to get an interview. So sometimes we'll get those, we'll call and they'll say, oh, I need to track down so-and-so. No, if you have someone listed there with a phone number, we should be able to get them when we get the press release. That's always helpful, because ideally we'll get a press release and then you guys or I will call and add to it to make it more rounded. If we're really in a pinch or it's a very simple thing, we'll just go from the press release. Part two is the photo, your and my favorite thing to receive. What size of photo do we usually get, Stephen?
Oh, very, very, very small.
Postage and stamp. Very,
yes, basically.
If we get a photo at all. So if you're sending us a press release, I'm being harsh, but don't bother unless there's a photo, a high resolution good photo, because that's the quickest and easiest way for us to be able to turn this around into a small story.
Yes, I might add that you have to all be very wary of how you use your phone in this case. A lot of people send pictures through their phone, and what phones generally do is they reduce the size of the actual raw photo. So if you do have to send a photo that's on your phone, make sure you click or type or swipe or whatever kind of device you have on the regular size. Do not shrink it down to small or very small, because then it becomes a file that still looks good on a tiny phone screen, but when you put it up on, let's say, a laptop or a desktop or even, dare I say, print it, it will look terrible.
Right.
Jen, thanks for your time.
Ciao.
All right, a quick note. Since it's summer, yet another staff member is going to be taking vacation. So we are going to be taking a little bit of time off from the podcast, as we're going to be a little bit shorthanded. You can expect to see us or hear us or
read us.
Read us or download us or whatever sometime in September. But rest assured, we will be back. Thank you so much for listening.
The Squamish Sound is brought to you by The Squamish Chief. The music for this episode was produced by Stephen Chua, cover photo by Clayton Matthews. Have a story tip? Give us a call at 604-892-9161. Send an email to news@squamishchief.com. You can read these stories and more online at squamishchief.com, the newspaper, and have the news delivered to your door every week.